Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Father, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing it is for us to open your word, to be able to open your word every day, and to hear from you, to hear words from heaven, hear words of wisdom, power, and grace that will bless us, encourage us, and strengthen us in the faith. Father, anoint us today afresh with the anointing that would move upon us so that more and more we'll love your word and love you more and seek to be hearers and doers of your word much more faithfully. Help us to recognize that your word is the key to all of life. Help us to be believers that live in your word daily. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're so thankful that you listen to us and that you care about us. We're thankful, Father, for that it was your good pleasure to deliver us from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. What a stooping down, what a mercy shown to us, what a love shown to us. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. On an ongoing basis, we often and continue to remind you that we're glad to provide for you prayer tools, prayer resources, discipleship resources that'll help you in your walk with the Lord and that will be tools that you can use to help disciple your family as well. How important it is that we make the Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28, making disciples. We're called to go into all the world and make disciples. And of course, a starting place is you first be a disciple, but also you're to disciple your family as well. That's so important. I don't think I can overemphasize how important it is that living the life of a disciple is critically important for every believer. And then discipling your own family, husbands and wives being of strength and encouragement to one another, and parents guiding, molding, and helping to shape the children to grow up to become godly boys and godly girls that will grow up to become godly men and godly women that will live for the Lord, that will be literally kingdom warriors who understand the work and the call of God upon their lives and are seeking to fulfill that call faithfully and passionately in their following of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, that email is jparker@afa.net. We're glad to provide prayer resources, discipleship resources, tools to help you in your walk with the Lord, tools to help equip you as a follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we're looking specifically in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. This is a chapter that contains, well, the entire chapter consists of three specific parables. And so, as we begin, I'm going to read all the way through Matthew, chapter 25, and then we're going to come back and look at the three parables each. Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Verses 1 through 46, all of Matthew chapter 25. Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word. Thank you for how that your word guides us, informs us, teaches us, and molds us. Thank you for how that as we listen and read and meditate on your word, Father, we come to better understand your heart, your mind, your perspective, and the way you see the world and the way you call us to see the world as well. More and more, Father, help us to live life with eyes that see things from your perspective, with ears that hear things from your perspective, and hearts that respond to things the way you would have us to respond. Help us to live to be the obedient church, the faithful church, the compassionate church you've called us to be. Lord, help us to never be callous to the things you're calling us to do and to say and to carry out. Help us to live daily with ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have us to hear and what you'd have us to see. Thank you for the chance to know you and serve you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking today at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Again, the entire chapter is 46 verses. And it consists of three parables, each of which has an important message for individual believers and for the church as a whole. And so my challenge to you is that you will take time to go back and read over this chapter again. Now, for the broadcast, we'll be looking specifically at each of the three parables. But I want you to really listen from the perspective of asking yourself this question. What does this parable say to me in my life, where I am in my walk with the Lord? You know, it's important that we not read the Word of God with the goal of thinking, well, I know someone who really needs to hear and understand this message. I know people that are walking in this wisdom. I know people that aren't walking in this wisdom. It's important that we listen for ourselves at what God is saying to each one of us. And once again, if you're a believer, if you're not reading God's Word every day, my ongoing challenge to you is to start the habit of reading God's Word every day. You know, I pretty regularly challenge believers to set a goal of reading at least three chapters in your Bible each day. Now, remember, it might be reading one chapter three times over, or it might be three different chapters, but consuming and feeding your spirit on the Word of God every day is something I don't believe I can overemphasize how important it is. God's Word is food for your spirit. It's medicine for your entire being. God's Word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. As a believer reads and meditates on the Word of God, it pours grace into the life of that individual believer, he or she, whoever they might be. It's pouring grace into your entire life. And remember also, as you read and meditate on God's Word daily, God's Word begins to bring healing and wholeness to every part of your life. There's so many ways in which God's Word will bless us, strengthen us, and encourage us. Briefly again, our reasons to read the Word daily. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and grow up in your faith. A second reason to read the Word daily, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. A third reason to read the Word daily is because it empowers your prayer life. Four, it sharpens your ability to hear the Holy Spirit. Five, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. Seven, increases God's anointing on every part of your life. Eight, it increases your wisdom in every part of life. 9, it enhances your intellect. And 10, it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. Read and meditate on God's Word every single day. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
You have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love. You have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love. You have captured,
you have captured my heart.
Consume,
consume my heart with your love.
Say
you have captured my heart. Consume my heart with your love.
Say it like you mean it. Timothy, say you have captured.
You have captured
my heart.
My heart.
Consume,
consume
my heart.
My heart with your love.
One more time, say
you have captured my heart. Consume my heart with your love.
And
if all I say is Jesus, 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 that's more than enough. If all I say all I say is Jesus, 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 that's more than enough. If all I say is Jesus, 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 that's more than enough.
Cause
you have captured my heart with your love.
Jesus,
you have captured
my heart.
My heart,
consume my heart.
My heart with your love.
Somebody bask in his love. Say,
you have captured
my heart.
My heart.
The music of Danson Oyekan, If All I Say is Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Matthew chapter 25, three parables, three messages for the church. And of course, these are messages for the church as a whole, but messages to each of us as individual believers as well. But before we get back into Matthew chapter 25, I want to remind you, if you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, we want to encourage you to make it your goal to pray it daily. Remember, we live in a crazy world, a dangerous world, a world whereby things happen every day. But you know, we serve a God that's more than enough, that's more than big enough to protect us, to watch over us, to take care of us. But an important way of appropriating and trusting God for that protection is by taking the time to stand on and to pray and or to pray Psalm 91 every day. Let's take time to pray it even now. Father, thank you, Lord, for all of us that are part of our listening family today. And thank you for your hand of grace upon us. And thank you for those who we lifted up earlier. Father, we pray this prayer for all of us, Lord. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against the stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, praying Psalm 91 is a very wise thing for each of us individually, but also parents and husbands and wives, let's pray it daily over our marriages, over our families as well. And make it your goal also not only to pray it for you and your family, share copies of this prayer with family members, loved ones, fellow church members, fellow workers on the job, people that you know. Because remember, Psalm 91 is in every one of our Bibles. It's a powerful weapon for divine protection and help, but it's our job to take the weapon and put it to use. So again, if you'd like to get a copy of this prayer, both for you to use, for you and your family, and to email and forward to others, just let us know. My email again is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to share both the prayer and an article that helps you better understand why it's so wise and important to pray it each and every day. Again, jparker@afa.net. Again, focusing on the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Again, Matthew 25, three parables, three messages for the church. Verses 1 through 13 carry the first parable, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Reading that passage once again, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, and all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Again, verses 1 through 13, Matthew chapter 25. Now, again, a parable that's an important one, and one of the very important messages of this parable is the importance of being ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is, we don't know the day or the hour in which the Lord Jesus will return, but we're to live in such a way that every day we're ready to go to heaven. We're ready to go with the Lord to spend all eternity with him. So living a life where we're ready, where we're faithfully about our Father's business, not slacking on our responsibility as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples, but faithfully carrying out the work he's called you and I to do every single day. Now, keep in mind, the fact is, people have been looking for the Lord's return for a long, long time. Now, the Lord has let us know he's coming back soon, but keep in mind, the way God uses the word soon may not be quite the way you and I understand the word, but the important thing is that whenever he does come, we're to be ready for his return. But now, keep in mind, on the other hand, there are many people who live but did not live to see the return of the Lord. Well, when a person passes away, that's kind of like, in a sense, the Lord's coming for them, because our opportunity to change our hearts and our minds ends at that point. When a person dies, the fact is their opportunity to serve the Lord in this world, in this lifetime, ends. So if a person knows Christ as their Lord and Savior when they pass away, they will have the wonderful blessing of spending all eternity with the Lord forever and ever and ever. What a glorious thing it will be to live and to spend all eternity with God in heaven forever and ever and ever. What a blessing, what a joy it will be. But sadly, there are those people who will miss heaven because they weren't ready when they passed away, or, of course, when the Lord returns as well. But either way, it's important that we live so that we're ready at any moment to leave this world, because, again, once we pass away, the opportunity to change is ended. So that's one of the reasons why it's important for each of us to live faithfully for the Lord every day, but also to live in such a way that we're helping others to come to know Christ as well. The fact is, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there will be many people who will know they're not ready for his return, and they will wish they had a few more moments or another day. But the fact is, when Christ comes back, the opportunity to turn to him will be up. But again, as I've mentioned, when a person passes away, at that point, their opportunity to change ends as well. What a tragedy is when a person thinks to themselves, well, I'm young now and I have a life to live and eventually I'll get saved. Eventually I'll give my life to the Lord. But right now I want to sow my wild oats or whatever term they want to use. Well, the fact is none of us know when we're leaving this world. We've learned of certain tragedies that have happened in recent weeks. The tragedy of a large building that fell in the state of Florida, and lots of people who laid down to go to sleep that night had no idea it was their last night on earth and woke up in eternity. Those that knew Jesus were in a wonderful place called heaven, but those that didn't know Jesus sadly have gone to a very tragic place called hell. And the fact is, hell is a terrible place. No one wants to be there. And people are hurting there all the time with no relief. No one would want to go. How important it is that we live so that we're going to heaven and we live to try to take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. So that parable reminds us, be ready. Whether it's you pass away or whether you're here when Christ returns, be ready for his return. It's very, very important. Well, the next parable, of course, is the parable of the talents. And it picks up at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traveled with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verses 14 through 30, Matthew chapter 25. Now again, the first parable of the wise and foolish virgins, as we mentioned, deals with the importance of living ready for Christ's return or living ready to leave this world. Well, it's the parable of the talents. It's about being a wise steward of God, all God has entrusted to you. Remember this, God entrusts certain blessings and gifts, strengths and talents and skills to each one of us. God wants us, he calls us to maximize the things he's entrusted to us. He doesn't want us to sit on them. He doesn't want us to take them lightly. He wants us, number one, to value these precious gifts, talents, and graces he's given to us and to make the most of how to use them productively and fruitfully in this life. Remember, the things we possess, they're really not ours. They really belong to God. And God has made us stewards over these things. And our goal is to multiply them, use them in a maximal way for the productivity of his kingdom. We're to live in such a way that, again, we make the most of everything he's entrusted to us, how important that is. Well, you know, it's important to understand this. Number one, obviously, our salvation. We're to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then our goal is to be a vessel through which the Holy Spirit can work through every day to help point people to Christ Jesus. Are you using the opportunity you have to be a witness wisely every day? Are you using the opportunity to give out gospel tracts as the Lord would have you to share your testimony, to tell people how God has answered your prayers, encouraging them to come to know Christ? Are you using the opportunity you and I have? Are we using the opportunities to make disciples, to help others to really begin to grow and grow up? Many times, too often, the devil will try to discourage us, thinking, well, you can't do that. You're not a good witness. You're not an evangelist, or people aren't interested in hearing your testimony, or you can't help anybody grow in their faith, or you're not gifted enough. You're not a pastor. You're not a preacher. You're not a missionary. The devil doesn't want you to use the opportunities you and I have every day, and we do have them every day. It's important to make the most of them. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at Matthew chapter 25, three parables, three messages for the church. We'll be right back. music from of Elevation Worship. Oh, saying thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 25, three parables, three messages for the church. And we just finished reading once again verses 14 through 30, the parable of the talents. And keep in mind, it's important that we understand how God is calling us to maximize our opportunity to serve Him. We're called to maximize the moments of our lives, and we do that by spending time in close fellowship with the Lord and listening to God and seeking to make the most of every day. Every day is an important day in the economy of eternity. There's no time for us to waste, because every day is a day in which God will give us opportunities to impact people, some of whose paths we will cross one time in a lifetime. We're to live as vessels full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God. We're to live as vessels that are listening, because again, God has a will for us to impact those around us, many of whom we will cross paths with only once. So making the most of those opportunities is very, very important. But also, we're always to be learning more from the Word of God, but also from the things that are important in the kingdom of God as well. You know, sometimes God will put it on our hearts to maybe to take a class or to take some form of training to be able to do something that He's calling us to do. Well, we should be wide open, as opposed to, understand this, the devil will always try to discourage you from carrying out the callings of God on your life, from carrying out the things He's placed on your heart to do. He'll tell you, you're not smart enough, you're not wise enough, you don't have enough money, you're not the right color, people won't listen to you. He'll give you 1,001 excuses as to why you cannot and should not even try to do certain things. But God wants us to maximize the opportunities we have. And remember this, every day, all of us have many opportunities to do certain things, some of which you may only have that opportunity to do it once on a given day in your life. So today, there may be things God will give you a chance to do that you'll never have a chance to do again. So our goal is to say, Lord, show me what you want me to do and help me to do it, as opposed to looking for excuses as to not do it. Remember, the excuses are from the devil and his demons. He'll try to discourage you and trip you up and stop you. Let us live to maximize our lives for His glory. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to live for you today and every day. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to make the most of the opportunities in our lives. Anoint us with wisdom and grace to run after maximizing the moments of our lives. Help us to never be about wasting time. Help us to know that every day is important. And help us to be wide open to saying, yes, Lord. Help us to live with a yes, Lord attitude today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the final parable in this passage is a powerful parable, one that you're probably familiar with, but it has, again, very important insights and truths for the church to learn as a whole and for us as individual believers. Picking up at verse 31 of Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, When did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Verses 31 through 46, Matthew chapter 25. In this third parable in this chapter, remember all three of these parables are found within chapter 25. The entire chapter of Matthew 25 consists of these three parables. And this third one, again, is a very powerful chapter. It's a picture of judgment at the return of Christ, but also it's also a powerful lesson that God wants all of us as believers, individually and collectively, to grasp. One of the clear and powerful messages is that God's people, their lives are characterized by ministry that reaches out to the hurting, to the people who are distraught, the disenfranchised, the have-nots in the world. God calls us to be a church full of compassion, full of love, and full of mercy. Notice in the first part, the Lord has reward for those who lived a life following him. And so you find that what the Lord is clearly painting a picture of is that his people, their lives are full of sacrificially following him. Now remember this, a key word here is sacrificially following the Lord. It's important for us as God's people to recognize that in our culture, sadly, we worship comfort. We worship convenience, those things that are easy, those things that aren't hard, that don't require much of us. Yet to follow Christ faithfully, we must live a life of sacrifice. And the reality is, very often in our flesh, we run from sacrifice. We want things to be comfortable, convenient, and we may think, and sometimes we may not say it with our mouths, but our actions say it, if it's not convenient, I'm not going to do it. If it's going to involve sacrifice, I'm not interested. If I have to do something that's going to hurt, I just don't want to deal with it. How sad, because remember this, Jesus didn't ever ask anything of us that he was not willing to do himself. Jesus lived a life, his whole life was a sacrifice. His whole life was a gift and a blessing. And he calls us as the church to sacrificially to reach out to a hurting world, a world that is dying, that's bleeding, that desperately needs Jesus. So remember this, our lives are to be full of ministry. You might think, well, I'm not a minister. If you know Jesus, yes, you are. We're servants of the Most High God. We're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which God wants to reach to both share the gospel, but to give of ourselves, to give of our substance, our time, our effort, our energy, sacrificially to reach out to a hurting world, both ministering ourselves, but giving financially to support ministers that are doing these kinds of things, giving not just when it's convenient, but giving sacrificially to be a part of the work of the building of God's kingdom. There's so much work to be done. There's so many people who, in relation to the story of the Good Samaritan, people who've been beat up, wounded, and robbed, and left on the side of the road for dead. And we are God's hands and feet through which God wants to reach out to a hurting world and show them what his love looks like. Make it your goal to be a believer who's living a life full of ministry. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace and wisdom. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day to live in such a way that we are your hands and feet, sharing the love of Jesus Christ sacrificially to a world that desperately needs to know your love, to be touched by your mercy and your grace. Help us to know, Lord, that that's what you've called us all to. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, in the final few moments of the broadcast, as usual, we want to invite every listener, if there's some listening who've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to give your life to Jesus Christ. Remember, the biggest problem in life is to be unsaved. And so how important it is that we recognize that if you're one who's listening and you've never given your life to Christ again, you need to make that step. And Jesus is ready. He says to all of us, come, all you who are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you want to pray that prayer and give your life to Jesus Christ, simply pray this prayer with me at this time, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we definitely would like to be in touch with you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to email you some information that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the same email if you're wanting some of the discipleship material, the prayer and discipleship material we're glad to provide for you and your family. Hope that you'll email us to get that as well. Our encouragement to you is that you would seek to live every day and ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live every day with the goal of maximizing the opportunities and the things God has entrusted to you, and live every day as a day of ministry. Remember this, whether you realize it or not, every believer's in the truest sense of the word called into full-time ministry. We're to be vessels that the Holy Spirit can use to get God's work done through every day. May it be your goal and my goal to live that way every day of our life. Thanks for listening again. We've been looking today at the topic, Matthew 25, three parables, three messages for the church. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.